Good evening. It is the special afternoon edition of the weekly update. Now, I just tweeted and I said, I'm going to do a bunch of AMA today as well. So if you have questions, throw some curly ones. Let's do some interesting stuff because I do have some content, but speaking of content, there's going to be content in just a moment. The Bunyip Imperial Stout. Where is it from? Where did I get that? Woolshed Brewery. That sounds especially Australian. Woolshedbrewery.com.au. There you go. I'm not exactly sure where that is. Somewhere in South Australia. Anyway, somewhere that I have not been yet, but maybe going to in the near future. Talk more about that in the coming videos. Cheers. Boy, that's good. That's really good. For those of you just joining in who might not normally be here, every alternating Friday is, spelled something like my keyboard. That's not good. Every alternating Friday is the Beer O'Clock Friday, and the other Fridays, which are not the alternating ones, but they alternate in their own way, are the coffee ones. And it's going to be interesting to see how I manage these on my upcoming travels, which I shall talk about more in events to come. But as is normally done in order of usual operations here, sponsor this week, brand new sponsor, which is Orca Security. So big welcome to Orca. Watch Cloud Security punch out. They're doing showdowns with Palo Alto, Qualys, and more. What our competition doesn't want us to see. So big thanks to Orca Security there. And they have been putting some really interesting stuff out here, actually. So go and check out Orca. It's always a bit of a nice thing to see, a bit of a showdown, a little bit of argy-bargy with the vendors as well, keeping everyone honest and on their toes. So thank you to Orca. Go check them out. Link at the top of my blog. Now, just looking at people joining in. G'day from Vic. Also, hasn't Vic done a bloody good job recently? So for those of you not from this part of the world, Victoria is the part of the country which did have a very, very significant second wave. I think we got up to about 7,000 active cases at peak there a couple of months ago. They are down now, I believe, at about 4 active cases, like 4 coronavirus cases, actually a lot less than here in Queensland, where I think we're at 8 at the moment. Fortunately, all in hotel quarantine, mostly returned travellers. So Australia is smashing it out of the park. We had announcements today that by Christmas, the entire country, other than Western Australia, and I'm not quite sure why WA is not in here, but anyway, other than Western Australia, all borders open, which is going to be great. So people will be able to travel and see family and things like that. So good stuff for Victoria. Jason says, I sound a bit echoey. Oh, boy. Oh, I hope this has got the right audio. Oh, I just muted it. So there's always a little bit of a delay, but can you tell me, does it sound good here or is it going through the camera up there? Because I thought I got all that right before I did it. But the little bit of a delay is between me talking and you hearing it and then responding. And it's normally about 10 to 20 seconds. So by about now, George says all fine. So maybe who's echoey? Maybe Jason. Maybe your speakers are a bit echoey. All right, everyone says it's okay. Now, it's an odd sort of thing because what happens is I start the live video and very often it doesn't pick up this mic, which is the good one. So I do what all us good IT folks know is the answer to every problem, which is to unplug it and plug it back in again. And literally I unplug it from the preamp, plug it and the computer goes, doo-doo, plug it back in and everything comes fine. So Jason, thanks, mate. It looks like it's you, not me. So Robert Cook says, WA closed due to the mining sector. So again, for the overseas visitors, there's Western Australia. And incidentally, just in case you want to get a bit of scale around this, you know how Americans are always like, Texas is so big. The state that I'm in here is twice the size of Texas. Western Australia, I think, is about 3 times the size of Texas. It is a freaking massive state. But incidentally, this state here, Queensland, twice the size of Texas, it's almost 8 times the size of the UK. We've got 5.1 million people here, which gives you a bit of a sense of how big it is. Now, part of my Christmas plans is a huge amount of driving, and I have been only just realizing myself now just how bloody big this country is, and I'll share more detail about that in the coming weeks, but it is an amazingly large place. All right, so other things. I have something very nice on my desk now, and this is This must be like 5 kilo, surely. This is a massively heavy thing. So this is the ISC Squared Award for Global Achievement Award Senior Professional. Now, some people did make disparaging remarks, well, about two things. Number one, saying I was senior, and I said, well, I don't act like it, so I don't think it counts. And number two, there are many comments about the shape of the award. And let's just say when Internet of Dongs starts chiming in on your Twitter thread, everything does take on a more amusing thread. And incidentally, that is a real thing. And yes, that account did chime in. Real person behind it, someone I have chatted to in the past as well, actually doing genuinely interesting work. I said all of that with a straight face, kudos to me. But in all seriousness, this is a really, really nice award to get because, yeah, frankly, any proper industry award, and I'll come back to what I mean by non-proper ones in a moment, is fantastic. And also to get something physical that you can sit on your desk. And honestly, like, this is bigger than my head, which is really nice. And it weighs a ton, and it is now the biggest award I think I have on my little trophy cabinet over there. So super, super cool. I did see a couple of other people shout out with their own awards as well. I saw one girl with a very similar sort of shape, but it was like a gold yellow color, which just looked epic. So this is really, really nice. And I really appreciate getting that because even at the best of times, most of my world and the things that I create are like sitting here in my office with the four walls and me. And when I say at the best of times, obviously the times when we could travel, it's like, okay, I get to go out there and meet people and it's face-to-face, but the vast majority of work happens in isolation here. But, of course, now everything happens in isolation here. So this is super nice. I did actually have someone want me to do a workshop in Sydney. So they popped up and said, hey, would you actually like to come to Sydney and do it? And for the moment, I don't think I actually need to travel to do these things. But it was kind of nice to think that we might be getting back to a time, at least in Australia, where I can travel and do events again. Now, I mentioned proper award as opposed to improper award, awards that aren't proper. I tweeted something, this was probably about a week ago, actually, where I got an award, can't remember what it was for. And let me see if I can find this, because it's just, there are a lot of super shady things out there. And in fact, the point that I wanted to make here is that when you see people with titles and awards, apply some healthy suspicion to what it actually is. Now, is this still here? Basically, what it was someone saying, hey, you've won the award for such and such. Now, here's all our media packages that you can buy. And when you buy the media package for like a couple of $1,000 or something, I'm going to find the details of this and just totally throw these guys under the bus because it was a super shitty thing. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is what it was. I found it. Subject: Troy Hunt, amongst most influential business leaders in tech, 2021. Now, I'm not sure how I have achieved this in 2021. For all I know, I could be bloody dead before 2020. I don't think it will be. But the point is that for this to be 2021, is it like when America launches the 2021 model of a car, but it comes out in 2020, and then in 2021 they launch the 2022 model? I don't know if everyone realizes this, but here in Australia, like if you launch a model this year, it has to be like the 2020 model. Anyway, apparently I'm the most influential business leader next year. So it says, I am, guy's name, from Insight Success Magazine. Now, I'm going to name them because I did tweet them and mention them the other day. It gives me immense pleasure to invite you to feature in our upcoming edition. It would be my privileged, not such great walker, that, oh, geez, I said his name. Accidentally, not such great grammar there, mate. It would be my privilege to convey to you about the triumph of our latest edition titled Most Influential Business Leaders in Tech, which immensely serves as a reason for Insight Success to come up with the next edition for 2021. What's in it for you? Two things. Number one, through our compelling content and program, we will showcase your viewpoints, journey, experience, success stories, and knowledge and future prospects and company innovations, provisions in our edition. Who is this guy? And future prospects and company innovations provisions. Number two, We will use a business-orientated outlook to convey your message and make it easy for your targeted audience to understand, thereby increasing your market value. I have a feeling I'm not getting the award anymore based on the way I'm responding to this. In this business profile, we are including the below benefits. Anyway, and then it's like bullshit. Your profile feature will cost $2,000 for value-added provisions, such as editorial promotions, activities, and online marketing. Anyway, so obviously I knew this was bullshit, but I thought I'll go back to the guy. Anyway, there's going to be a theme, actually, in this week's video of me just messing with people who are trying to pull shifties like this. I'll go back to him. Hi, Donald. Okay, I've said his name now. Hi, Donald. Can you please clarify, is this a recognition of successful industry leaders or just an opportunity to buy exposure? It's not quite clear. I thought, are they like a, I'll push it a little bit, but I won't be too obnoxious. He comes back. Yes, Troy. I kind of asked, is it this or that? You can't just say yes. This is recognition of successful industry leaders where we providing the brand. Donald, you got to work on your English here, mate. I think I need the rest of it for this to make any sense. This is a recognition of successful industry leaders where we're providing the branding exercise for your profile in front of your target audience and geography for better exposure. So below, I'm sharing all the promotional activities that we will be performing after this edition will get live. Get live? Being on this feature, we are very sure you'll get maximum visibility to your desired audience and huge number of subscribers. Doesn't say how many, but anyway. Paid social media promotion, blah, I'm sharing the paid promotion, which will be performed by our digital marketing team for your profile. Anyway, bullshit. I go back to him. I'm a bit confused. Is this an industry recognition or something you're asking me to pay for? I've never received a contract for an industry award before. Why would that be required? And Donald kind of went quiet after that. Or did he? No, he did come back. He says, hi, Troy. Well, I would like to share that we request for nomination fee to lift the charges which are incurred at the time of executing the project, such as making your profile and circulation of print copies while maintaining a high quality social media campaigning and others. Doesn't say what others are. We ensure motivation to give you the best in the execution process by enriching the workforce, in brackets, monetarily. Enriching the workforce? Also, we will do online paid promotion by circulating a profile online in our various social media platforms. Please let me know if you would like to opt for this opportunity so that we can move ahead to the next step. Looking forward to hearing from you. Best regards, Donald. So I went back to him. On principle alone, I cannot pay for an award. I literally quoted that. If it's genuine recognition of the industry contributions, then great. If it's a sales initiative, then that's not something I will ever entertain. Now, the whole point of this was going back to something like this. This comes out of the blue. Anything else that I promote publicly or put on the shelf comes out of the blue. If you're looking for a marketing exercise, I'm going to need a bit more beer to tell you exactly how I feel about that, but that ain't going to happen. So, moral of the story, when you see people with these awards, there's a very valid question to be asked around whether it was paid for or not. Anyway, I'll pause there. I didn't actually mean to go off on that tangent, but when I picked that thing up and went, well, this is actually a nice real award, it just sort of reminded me of that. All right, what have we got in the comments today? So Daniel says, going to be posting lots of travel pics on Twitter. Hell yes. I am going to go to a whole bunch of absolutely amazing places, many of which I've never been to before. I am going to put a very substantial number of kilometers on my car. Let's just put it that way. I think it is going to be a 5-digit number of kilometers, actually. But I'm doing something I wanted to do for a long time, even pre-COVID. And the fact that I can't go overseas, my partner Charlotte can't go back to Norway, we can't go and do the international travel things we'd like to do. We're going to do things in Australia. And in all fairness, when I got back here after just a huge amount of travel last year and into February this year, we both kind of went, look, it'd be really nice to see some bits of Australia, because really And again, for those of you from overseas who maybe don't appreciate just how freaking big this place is, it is massive. It's very, it's a little bit smaller than the USA. It's very much the same size as most of continental Europe. I have been to some little bits around the right-hand side and down to the bottom. I've been to a little bit up the top right, and I've been right over to the west, to Perth a couple of times, and that's it. I've seen nothing else. So I'm really looking forward to seeing more of it, and I'm going to definitely post a whole bunch of pics, and we're literally just out having a bit of a chat about how am I actually going to do the video thing and what equipment am I going to take with me to maintain some sort of veneer of quality. But I am definitely going to be sharing a heap as we get around the place then. Did you know Melbourne is closer to Antarctica than Darwin? Wow, George, I did not know that. So that is a good indication of just how big the country is. People are just realizing that Internet of Dongs is a thing. Yes, it is. What else have we got in here? Hi, Troy, you're going to talk about data breach today? Yes, I am. I'm going to go through a whole bunch of recent ones, and I'm going to actually ask some feedback from the audience here as well, because I'm trying to figure out what to do with one of them. Jonathan Wrigley says this email is fully buzzword compliant. I know. All right, fun fact. There is literally a website called The Bullshit Generator. Now, I'm going to pull this up, and there's actually a few different bullshit generators online, but there's one that I have used for many, many, many years, and I just know it's DAC.com. So here we go. I'm going to take this. I'm going to drop it into the comments here. This is epic because you just click the button which says make bullshit, and you keep clicking it, and it combines a verb with an adjective with a noun, and you get things like transform innovative niches, enhance world-class eyeballs. Oh, that's a good one. Enable proactive e-markets, cultivate .com portals, strategize virtual e-commerce. And this is the sort of stuff that appears in emails like the one I was just reading. So, fun fact there. This week's theme, messing with people. Yes, I'm going to come back to the other one. The things I get up to when I'm bored. What do you think about the pro tip to append the site's name or whatever you use after the plus behind the local part of an email to those who got hacked? So, for example, john.doe plus foobar at gmail.com. All right, so good question. This is often referred to as either sub-addressing or plus aliasing, among other terms. And the basic premise is this. Now, this is not part of any sort of formal RFC or any spec, but Gmail supports it, Outlook.com supports it, a bunch of the biggies support it. You can take your alias and then put plus something else at your domain.com, and it will still come to your inbox. And the value proposition is that you go around and you sign up at different websites, and let's say you sign up at Netflix. So to use the example of john.doe here, you go john.doe plus Netflix at gmail.com. And then you go to, let's say, Dropbox, john.doe plus Dropbox at gmail.com. And they all still come to your inbox, but you have different email addresses. And if you start getting spam to one of those addresses later on, it's like, hang on, what happened to, say, Netflix? Because I'm getting spam to my Netflix subaddress. The other thing it does do is it does kind of knock on the head the credential stuffing problem, where people get massive lists of email address password pairs. Now, if your email address is different on every website, then you don't have that problem. Now, of course, if someone wants to target you and they figure out the pattern, it's like, ah, oh, it's John Doe, and this is Netflix. Well, I know what the email address is going to be. Look, I think it's a good idea, and I do something very similar with my own domain. The good thing about it is that when you do get junk, you've got a really good indication of where it came from, particularly when you say register at a conference. I know it's a bit weird these days, but back in the day, register at a conference, you get a badge, you're walking around, everyone's scanning you, and you put the conference name in your email address and suddenly you get spam. Well, you know where it's come from. Where you tend to run into problems is things like you share your email address, which might normally just be like john.doe at gmail.com, and then someone later on says, I am going to give you permissions to a Google Doc or something like that. And they give that permission. And it's like, no, my actual email address is john.doe plus Google at gmail.com. And then stuff gets a little bit messed up. But for the most part, it's a good thing. I really like the idea of being able to attribute back to a source where the email comes from. All right, what else we got in here? People chatting about those. Jason watching from Toowoomba. Cool. So Toowoomba, another little, I guess it's a major regional Queensland centre. not actually been to Toowoomba before. John, there you go. Or Jason, sorry. HLBP feature request, please include plus aliasing. So George Fisher is asking for plus aliasing. So the number one highest voted user voice request on Have I Been Pwned is plus aliasing / subaddressing. Now, I've explained in there why I haven't done it yet, but let me relay it here. And there's several reasons. Number one, it's not a formal spec. So part of the problem is that whilst, say, for Gmail, anything plus, or let's say john.doe plus anything is the same as john.doe plus anything else, I can't reliably make the same assumption about every other service. And that's a bit of a problem, because do I then have a situation where I have to say, if you're at gmail.com or at outlook.com or something like that, then I apply this rule, and anything else, you don't apply this rule, because the problem is that you could have different pluses that are literally different people, but then the same person gets to search the other addresses, if you know what I mean. So that there's a bit of a risk that they could actually legitimately be two different people. There's another problem too, and it's a little bit more practical, which is that the way the data structure in Have I Been Pwned works is that every domain has its own partition in table storage. So there is a freaking massive partition for gmail.com. There's a very small partition for troyhunt.com. That is the partition. It has its own partition for every single domain. Now, every row is then based on alias. So there are many, many, many rows in gmail.com, and the row key is the alias. There's like a couple of records for troyhunt.com. Again, row key is the alias. Now, what we're saying is that we effectively want to normalize the addresses so that john.doe at gmail.com can just search for that, and if he had a plus on anything else, then it shows up. Now, I could easily just strip the pluses out of everything, but the problem then is that you lose the context, because what John Doe really wants to know is, was this my Netflix account, for example, that was exposed? So what I really have to do is I have to maintain this principle of, first of all, normalizing the address so that you can search for John.Joe. Jeez, John.Joe Doe. Oh, you know what I mean. And find him. But John also wants to be able to see the context, which is the plus aliasing subaddress. So I have to have a new construct within Have I Been Pwned which does that. And then I really have to go back through nearly 500 data breaches and pull that out in its original form and normalize the address, but also maintain that context of what the subaddress was. The other problem is, and this is in the user voice request, is that as important as it is to say George here, and I appreciate the value proposition, every time I've done the numbers on this, I come up with about 0.03% of people that actually use it. So this is good, but we're like 1 in 10,000 people or something to that effect that would actually get value from it. So in terms of like, where do I invest the time, which frankly I just don't have, and then it's like a very, very, very small impact. Anyway, I've left it there. It's on the backlog. If I ever get it done, everyone who's voted for it will get a notification. All right, what else we got in here? More plus discussions. So hopefully that's answered for people. George is saying, couldn't you do it with a regex at search time? Look, I could. Like, I could extract it. That's not the problem. The problem is that if I normalize the address and you lose everything after the plus, then you've lost the context of where the email address came from. Now, I'm going to talk about a breach in a moment where this will make a lot more sense, because I think you'll then see why you would really want to keep the information in the plus. All right, so let me move on to the next thing. Talking messing with people. I get these SEO scammer calls, and this happens. And I've got another one today, and I just got really impatient with the guy, and he hung up really quickly. But this happens as a almost like a legacy issue where before GDPR hit and all the Whois stuff pretty much got hidden on every service, your name and your email address and your phone number would be visible for every domain you register unless you pay for privacy. And just on like principle alone, I never paid for privacy. So I have a large number of domains, including domains such as troyhuntsucks.com. Now, that's a real domain. You can go there now. You'll see what's there. There is context. I registered that after someone created a WordPress website called Troy Hunt Sucks and literally wrote lengthy blog posts about how much I suck And my biggest regret with this is that I didn't screen cap it or put it in archive.org before that site disappeared, because there's a lot of effort that went into it. I remember even when I got my first regional director award, someone wrote a big blog post about how much I suck. Thought and love went into that blog post, and it's gone forever now. Anywho, so I registered this domain. Incidentally, there's also scotthelmsucks.com as well. I don't know where that came from, but regardless. Registered tryonsucks.com. Who is data went into there? And I regularly get called from either web development. I don't know if we call them scammers or just spammers, but people trying to sell you things, cold calling you. And also SEO specialists, search engine optimization specialists. So I got called by one on Monday. Now, I was not having a good day on Monday for all sorts of personal reasons. I wasn't a happy camper until this person called. And suddenly this little thing in me just went off. It was like, oh, I'm going to have some fun with this. And I recorded it. And as far as I'm concerned, anyone trying to scam me or spam me is free game. I recorded it and put it up on Twitter. And it was just kind of funny because this guy keeps saying, like, Troy Hunt sucks. And I'm like, well, mate, why are you being so offensive? You know, like, why do I suck so much? And he's trying to explain that he's not telling me that I suck. It's just that the name is I suck. And I think, like, the penny's kind of dropping for him as he goes along, because he then goes to troyhunt.com. And then he's saying, why are you being so tricky? And I won't even try and impersonate his accent. You can listen to it and make up your own minds about that. But he kept telling me I was being tricky, and that made me very happy. when I heard that, it did make me laugh a lot. And incidentally, and I will actually link to the tweet about this in the show notes, which I'll post tomorrow morning. But when I first registered this domain and I started getting lots of calls, I started recording the calls and just making like a montage of Troy Hunt sucks. And I put them in a talk that I did in Oslo, I think in 2017, about Hack Your Career. Now, fun other fact, and I'll never publish this, but because I was getting so many calls every time after I registered a domain, I started to register all the lyrics for Never Gonna Give You Up. And I started to register them all with dashes between them and recording them as scammers, spammers, again, interchangeable terms, called me up. And I was going to do like the whole Rickroll with scammer calls reading out domain names. And I still have a whole bunch of those as well. In fact, I've got a bunch of the recordings, but I didn't get to finish the entire chorus before Whois Data started getting hidden. So that's a little bit of a shame. But anyway, and of course, I've also got to be here at home, like with my phone, chucking it on speaker mode, sitting it here with the microphone pointing at it just to record the whole thing. This is my job. What a crazy world. Anyway, all right, look at the other comments here. Question here, is the internet of yours, the stream's lagging. Works fine here, 1080p here, if other people are okay. Should be going out 1080, okay. I get about 20 megabits up here, and I know there's people in the world out there going, that's just terrible, but 20 megabits is more than enough to stream 1080p, so that should be fine. Someone linking to scotthelmsucks.com. Now, this is important. That is served over HTTPS, is it? Let's have a look. What is there? I mean, I don't think we need a domain name to establish that. Oh, yes. Yeah, and there's references. Wow. Who would ever do this? Oh, the link through to my tweets. Damn. Okay. Yeah, okay. Good. Yep, okay. People can go and check that out on their own accord. George says, the worst one is, and incidentally, part of the reason I repeat these questions is I do turn this into a podcast. People listen to it in the car later on as well, so I want to make sure there's context. George says, the worst one is when you register a trading name, you get literally hundreds of ads for domain names in the post. Incidentally, fun fact, don't quote me on this, people can do their own research to find the references, but someone registered a trading name in the UK, which was an XSS pattern recently. And it seems like that name ended up getting rejected because it actually broke some stuff, because it had like angle brackets and apostrophes and things like that in it. So yeah, kudos to that person, whoever they are, good on you for that. That's fun. Someone's saying here 20 megabits up and down is a dream for them. I can always fall back to this phone on 5G and literally get gigabit over 5G from my home. which reminds me, so this is the new iPhone 12 Pro, which does do the 5G things. Every now and then I give it a little test. I've been trying to beat, I've got 1.0 something gigabits before. And every now and then I give it a little check and see just how fast can it go. So what do I get over 5G at the moment? 19 millisecond ping. So that's interesting. I'm getting about 500, 520 down, 540 down. Now, maybe if I go out in the backyard, so I don't have a roof and everything over me, I'll get a little bit more. Or maybe it's just contention. Depends how many people are online. But anyway, I can get good speed down if I want to drop to 5G. All righty, what else we got here? Looks like scammers are beginner. They don't even read the MS Director in the title. Anyway. Spammers, you got to remember, and very interestingly, there is, I'm going to find this now, there is a Reply All, and if you haven't listened to Reply All before, it's an epically good podcast. I didn't know how good it was until I did a podcast with them once, and I didn't know who they were, and I just normally say yes to everyone that asks for a podcast, and I did it, and then all these people started tweeting me going, this was a really good podcast. And I thought, why are so many people listening to it? And then I listened to it, and it's like, now I know why. Indian call center. Long distance. This is the one. Here we go. So I'm going to drop this in the notes of this video right at this point, actually. This is episode number 102. It was from July 2017. If you suspect you're a victim of tech support scammer, you see a suspicious pop-up or get an unsolicited tech support email, you can make a complaint to the Federal Trade Commission. Well, probably just if you're in America. For the 96% of the rest of the world, you have to do something different. Anyway, but what was really fascinating about this one is that they actually go to India to try and track down one of these scammers who calls you up and says you've got viruses. And I think from memory, it was like a two-part episode, but it was absolutely fascinating. And it's just really curious to see that at the end of the day, you basically get people that are unskilled, they're following a script, they're probably just trying to make a living for themselves, and they're doing a shitty thing, but maybe not even fully aware of the consequences of it. So I learned a lot listening to this. It was really fascinating. So do check that one out. So that is there. What else we got in here? Okay, so it's a trading name. Adam's asking, what's your streaming setup? Adam, just Google Troy Hunt Ultimate Home Office, and there's one from a few months ago. Sony A6400 camera. I've got a Rode broadcaster mic, and that goes into a preamp. The Sony goes into an Elgato stream thumb 4K thing. Basically just turns a DSLR into a webcam. I think I'm actually going to be taking this one with me, actually, when I go on my travels. But that is all in there as well. Okay, so that's fine. What else we got in here? During your upcoming Aussie travels, would you be willing to drop into a student-run IT club and have a chat, do a talk? DM me on Twitter and tell me where it is. And if I'm going to be there, I'll try and do that because I haven't done any event in person since Feb. So that would actually be kind of cool. And then I just don't want to talk about where I'm going yet, just whilst I'm finalizing everything and locking everything in. But I will talk about that very, very soon. All right. What else we got in here? And again, because it's not an overly packed event, stream, feel free to ask me anything. Make it interesting. Jim Browning's exposing scammers. I think I've seen some of his videos. There's some really good ones in here as well. Company names here. Troy, do you smoke? No, I've never, ever smoked. I think I've tried it once when I was super drunk as a kid. And that was it. No, I have never, ever smoked. So that is it. Any joy on the GoPro as a webcam, asked Tom. So I was just talking to Charlotte about this when I was figuring out what I'm going to take with me. The problem with the GoPro and... it's down on my wakeboard stuff at the moment. But you have to get really, really close to your face because it's such a wide-angle lens. If you don't want it to make it look like you're a mile away, you've got to be super, super close. So just for context, me to this camera at the moment is maybe 40 centimeters, something like that. It feels comfortable. I can look at the lens and not feel like it's looking at my nose. The GoPro has to get super in your face. And then because it's fisheye, the rest of the room kind of morphs a little bit. My goal was to try and have something where I just pair with the phone and it's like super mobile and portable, but it really just hasn't met expectation there. So I'm not completely discounting it, but I'm not happy with the way it works as a webcam, just Bluetooth or Wi-Fi into the phone. My feeling at the moment is I'll probably end up using the good Sony because it does that nice bokeh as well because of the Sigma lens on it. And I've ordered one of the Rode Go mics, a wireless mic, where I can plug the mic into the camera there and then the other bit I can do lapel here. And then I ordered a new tripod yesterday, actually, and I'll tell you what this one is. In fact, this was a Kickstarter, and I came across it sort of by accident. And it looks super, super cool. Where was this yesterday? What was it? I seem to have ordered a lot of things lately. Intel QuickFill AC electric pump. I pump up a lot of pool toys. so I ordered that. Here we go. This is the one. That's right, because I ordered two things on Amazon. Order details. I saw someone else using this. Now I've got to log back in. Just trust me. Anyway, it's like a tripod which has like three legs, but they all fold together and you can use it as a grip, like a hand grip. Because one of the things I was thinking of is I'm still finishing out this massive IoT blog series and I want to walk around the house and show how different things work. And I want to be able to put this camera, because it's epic, on a handheld thing. And it's got like the three legs all fold around together and you hold it like that. And if you let go of them, they all fold out and then you can sit it back down on a desk immediately, as opposed to something like I've got some of the Gorilla tripods, can't remember, the ones that are all like bendy legs. And then if you're holding it and then you try and sit it on the desk, it's all a bit of a mess. But anyway, I think that's going to be my setup. Are there any rainbow dickheads where you live? Lorikeet for the uninitiated. I think you're saying they're rainbow dickheads because they're just really loud and they eat all the sugar and everything else they can get their hand on. Not many here. We just got a lot of spiders. Quite a few stingrays. See stingrays pretty much every day because we're on the water. Occasionally dolphins. Is there such a thing as a GoPro with a normal lens? Not as far as I know. They've actually got, I forget what they call it. It's like another, it's not a macro lens, but it's another one that makes the field of view even larger, that helps with stabilization because it opens it up more and then the frame is tighter. Then as it moves around digitally, they sort of move the frame to stabilize it even more, which is pretty cool. Home Assistant journey, how's that going? Right, let me talk about that. We'll sort of jump around a little bit. It's going pretty well. So last week I mentioned I had to rebuild my entire Ubiquiti network. That wasn't much fun. I've done all of that. I am going to write in this. In fact, I literally, just as I've said this, I've got a text from the Sparky, the electrician. He's found some more lights for me, which is nice. So the electrician has been helping me wire all the things here. And incidentally, and I literally put this in the draft blog post today, the law in Australia is, in terms of when you need an electrician, if you're changing a light bulb, it's okay. Anything more than that, you need an electrician. So anything to do with any wiring, you have to have an electrician, which is why I've had Tim out here doing so many things. So my Ubiquiti network hosed itself. I'm not entirely sure why it happened just after I had capacity warnings, like a few days after. It might have also been an automatic firmware update. I didn't have backups of the device on something other than the device. So when the device hosed itself, it's like, there's all my backups as well. So I now have lots of backups in Dropbox and places like that. So I rebuilt all of that, rebuilt all my Unify network. The big thing I did this week was the doorbell. And the doorbell is really, really cool. So I did post a tweet about it a couple of days ago. So Tim came out and we wired that up. We eventually just had to run, we went to like AC mains and then a transformer, ran cabling around up through the back of the wall, drilled it through, and then replaced the old doorbell unit, which felt like it was from about 1965, with the new Ubiquiti unit. So now it's got a super sweet G4 doorbell just in front of the door. It's got a nice little glowing ring around it and a little welcome message under that, and then you press the button, and then this is where the fun begins. So when you press the button, like Ring or Nest or other doorbells or things, get a little alert on the phone, get an alert on the watch as well, on Charlotte's too, so no matter where we are in the world, we will get that here. And then normally what you do is you'd have a chime box. So a chime box, in traditional terms, is like the little ringer. Now, you can go out and buy a Chime box, but because I hooked this into Home Assistant and it raises an event when you press the button, I can get Home Assistant to do things. So rather than buy a Chime box, I went, I've already got a Sonos Play 5 on the kitchen bench and like a Sonos Move in the living area. I can get the Sonos to play a sound. So I did a text-to-speech. So when you press the button, at the moment, Michelle doesn't like this so much, but at the moment, the Sonos says, ring, 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 there's someone at the door. And it sounds kind of freaky because it's like this disembodied voice because it's all text-to-speech, but I could also play a WAV file, which is just a traditional ringer. So what I really like about this is that all I've done is just put the doorbell out there and then I have existing speakers in the house that do the ring. And it happens instantaneously after pressing the button. There's no lag or anything. And at the same time as that's going off, my watch is going off, Charlotte's watch is going off, like we get all the notifications we need to then go to the door and let the person in. So I'm really happy about that. It's a great Home Assistant integration too, being able to raise that event on Ring. And I'll probably just change the ringer to something more doorbell-like, but no, that bit's going great. So yeah, thank you very much for asking about that. So I will put all of that in the blog post I'm writing up. And I've, like I said before, I'm going to actually do walk around with video and show all these things in action too. Question here, have you tried the Oculus Quest 2? No, haven't yet. I'll put that on my list. Question here, is it the Peak Design tripod? It's not, you know what I should do? If I actually open this up in another window, it should be authenticated to Amazon, or I do control backslash and 1Password does its magic, and then I scan the finger and I log in, I can tell you what the tripod actually is. So the tripod is SwitchPod. There you go. So it is called a SwitchPod. If you Google SwitchPod, you'll see this very spaceship-like aluminium frame. I think it's aluminium. Looks aluminium. So, yeah, that looks super cool. So I ordered that, and then you can get a little swivel head on top of it just in case you don't want the camera to always be perfectly level at the height of the SwitchPod. So, yeah, check that out. In fact, just for thread completeness, I will drop that in the comments in case anyone wants to see what a SwitchPod looks like. All right, so that's that. Okay, what else before we go into other things? Someone's just installed a Dream Machine. Rambling Geek has just installed a Dream Machine Pro at home. Hope you're liking that. Mine is great when it doesn't crash. It's only crashed the once, and it should have been a seamless thing. Incidentally, one of the things I noticed, and I did actually double-check this with my Ubiquiti guy the other day too, is that when you go into backups in Ubiquiti, there is a disabled section which says backup to cloud. So inevitably, a future feature is taking a backup of your network and automatically uploading it, which I think makes a lot of sense. There's probably a discussion to be had about, is there anything in your configuration that you might not want uploaded to a third party? But assuming it's just like all your device names and their IP addresses and things like that, I love the idea of it, let's say, doing a nightly backup so that if ever I get my network hosed again, I factory reset and then I go, hey, restore from the last backup on the cloud and everything just comes back up. And really, I want the experience to be like this, like my iPhone, where if ever I hose my iPhone, I get a new iPhone and I just go, okay, just restore from the last backup. That's what it should be like. And I have offered that suggestion in very, very direct terms. Now, the doorbell's not available in the UK. Apparently, the Ubiquiti one, I don't believe it's available in Australia yet either. They do send me things very early, which is a nice benefit. But I know that things like the Amplify Alien stuff will be available in other parts of the world soon as well. So I shared a whole bunch of tweets about that recently, which they also sent me. Wasn't available in Australia or the UK, I don't think. But they will filter through shortly, which is good. Jonathan says, the doorbell is sweet, but I'm waiting on Unify Access. Personally, I don't have an existing wired doorbell and also want to control an electric strike. So the challenge too with the doorbell, and in fact, recently I asked for my neighbors, I installed the Amplify in their place and they had a very obscure doorbell which only had instructions in like Chinese. And so I asked, and we literally didn't know how we could actually get it set up on the new network. I asked people for suggestions and a lot of people came back and said, get the Ubiquiti one. The thing is that you need Unify Protect, and Unify Protect is the bit that has the hard disk, and it does the recording of the cameras, and then it gives you remote access to the recordings which are kept on premise. Now, that's a bit different to something like a Ring or a Nest, where it can actually take those live feeds and put them directly up in the cloud. So it is kind of like a larger investment in the UniFi ecosystem, but then you get to keep stuff on premise as well. So you're kind of trading these things off. Tom Underhill saw the Twitter interview spooking Charlotte with the stick in the bushes. Is she still freaking about Aussie creepy crawlies? Oh, I did say ask me anything. So, you know how people not from Australia think that Australia is just full of creepy crawlies and stuff that's going to bite you and kill you? Well, first of all, you're right. Second of all, that doesn't mean we can't have fun with it. So, Charlotte spent a whole bunch of time here in Australia over the years, but as she has spent more time with me in more recent times, I have taken some pleasure in scaring her with creepy crawlies. So I shared a video a while ago where we're actually in Sydney. This was before the whole COVID thing. And we're walking through this bushland and she's just flipping out about everything. It's like, something's going to come out and bite me. So anyway, I pick up a stick and I throw it into the bushes and she loses her shit and tries to physically assault me and I in a nice way. And I have this on film. So I posted that. And incidentally, Tom, I do have a series of these as well. I will be releasing more of these as time goes by. So she's actually adjusting well. The thing that freaks people out the most, I think, is the shark thing. Because it's one thing when you're on land and you're like, oh, is there a snake? And you look around and you go, no, there's no snakes. I'm okay. It's another thing when you're in the water and you can't really see in the water. And even for us as local Aussies, particularly if we're in the canal, like wakeboarding or something, you sort of go, after about 4 or 5 o'clock, you don't really want to take that risk of being in the water. That's like shark o'clock. So she's a bit extra cautious about that. But we go to the wakeboard park a lot, which is a lake. Now that has eels and turtles. And they're okay because it's like you're just cruising along and a little turtle pops his head up and then he disappears before you go over. But there are no teeth like the sharks. So anyway, yeah, good memory. That was a funny video. All right. Do you have any advice for someone getting into cybersecurity? So I wrote a blog post. If you search for Troy Hunt career cybersecurity, keeping in mind that I basically just winged it myself and figured it out as I went along. So there is a blog post called Careers in Security, Ethical Hacking and Advice on Where to Get Started. That is now almost 4 years old, still very relevant. So check that one out. Troy, are you ever afraid your cameras might be pwned one day somehow? No, I'm not. And the other thing is like this camera, it's got a lens cap. And every time I finish on this camera, I put the lens cap on and then it's on a boom arm and I move it around behind the monitor. The camera on my laptop has a little slider. I always keep that shut because I never use the one there. The big exception, of course, is things like this, which have a camera. You don't really put sliders or anything on these little like lens covers. And then there's also the practical thing of what would you do in front of your camera that you might not want other people to do. Now, yeah, firstly, use your imagination. Secondly, don't do that in front of your camera. there's a really easy way not to have a problem with this, which is to use things like lens caps, point them in other directions, and then be conscious of what you do in front of a camera. All right. So let me move on. Let me move on because I did have something else. And this is the data breach bit. So there's been new data breaches. And, you know, with these data breaches, a lot of this in terms of what actually put in have I been pwned does come down to a combination of when is there new data flowing through? When do I have time? What's a good return on investment? Now, to be clear, what I mean by return is people finding out that they've been in a breach. So, for example, loading a data breach of 20,000 records, the return for people is much, much less than a data breach with 20 million records. So I'd much rather load the really big stuff and focus on that. So if we look at just the last, what's today? It's the 13th. So what have I done since my last video on the 6th? There has been the Brazilian delivery service, James. So they had 1.5 million accounts. Breached in March. Data includes email address, customer locations, expressing longitude, latitude, and bcrypt passwords. So good on them for bcrypt. 62% already in Have I Been Pwned. There was Lazada Redmart. Now, this is a Singaporean shopping service. A lot of people asked me about this. 1.1 million accounts there, later sold online. Names, phone numbers, addresses, partial credit card data, SHA-1 password hashes, naughty, naughty. 68% of those already in Have I Been Pwned. More recently, Mashable. So Mashable had a breach. Another 1.4 million records, names, genders, expired auth tokens, physical locations, links to social media profiles. 76% of those already in Have I Been Pwned. Yesterday, it was Animal Jam. And Animal Jam was quite interesting because a bunch of people popped up at the same time and sent it to me within, say, 24 hours of each other. And it checked out. It was legitimate. I couldn't find any reference whatsoever of this having been disclosed. So I ended up contacting a journalist, Jeremy Kirk, who I know quite well and is a good InfoSec journalist and I know will handle things the right way. Didn't send him the data, but said, look, this is literally on a very popular hacking forum. A lot of people talking about this. Would you like to cover this piece? So he got in touch with Animal Jam and Animal Jam or the company that owns it, I can't remember the name of the company that owns it, handled it exceptionally well. Like their communication, and I saw a bunch of the messages that they sent him and a bunch of statements they made was fantastic. And in fact, their communication was so well done that in their disclosure message, and I'll drop this in the video link here for anyone that wants to see it, it was so well done that in here they actually tell you to go and visit haveibeenpwned.com just to check if you've been breached or not. So it was a very transparent, very rapid response. Interesting side note with this, it looks like the breach was related to someone getting access to their Slack channel and in Slack an AWS key having been shared and then someone used that AWS key to gain access to the data. So it looks like they're still not quite clear how the Slack account was taken over because apparently it had a strong password and 2FA and this came from their CTO or their CISO. Someone in a C-suite position, someone who gave really, really good, honest information, and I'm inclined to believe. So not quite sure how that happened. And then the last one that I loaded 4 hours ago here was Home Chef. So Home Chef delivers food. So it looks like food which you then prepare at home. This is not an Uber Eats, but food you prepare at home. Almost 9 million records. This was in the news many months ago. Finally popped up in my feed and that's now gone in there. 87% of those almost 9 million records are already in Have I Been Pwned. Now, the next one. So this has been in the news, but there is it's not even a breach. Ooh, I just got a final number on this as well. It's called CIT 0 Day, CIT, the number 0 day. And this was a service that had a whole bunch of data breaches. Looks like it disappeared sometime last year. All their data has now appeared somewhere publicly. There are a total, in fact, there's two different folders here. One of these folders has got something like 14,000 records in it, each record being a different data breach, not an individual account from a breach, but a different data breach, like 14,000 data breaches. And then another table that I think was like 6,000 or 9,000 or something like that. Now, I'm not going to go through and verify all of those. That's a lot of work. But it looks like a lot of these are possibly undisclosed incidents. Now, before I went out for a walk, just for recording this video, I ran my email extraction tool over this. There are 226 million unique email addresses in this. Now, what I've got to decide is what do I do with this? So do I sit on this and do nothing? Because if I load this into Have I Been Pwned and you're one of these 226 million people and you get an alert and it says, hey, you're in this breach, it is an aggregation of other incidents, you're going to be like, well, where did it actually come from? Now, I could always take this list of files and put it on Pastebin or something and everyone can see the list and you can look at it and go, let me read through the 14,000 odd items here and see if I recognize any of them. But it's a very kind of inconclusive piece of information. It's like, all right, first of all, let's face it, you're not going to read through 14,000 different incidents. But second of all, in fact, this is where the plus aliasing makes sense, right? Because if you're plus aliasing and it's like, you know, john.doe plus obscurewebsite.com, at gmail.com, and you actually go and specifically search for that, or if I did do the normalization and then retained the context of the actual site that was in the plus addressing, that would be useful. But I've got to decide, do I load this or not? So I'm going to take a closer look at the data over the weekend and just figure out, do I want to put 226 million more records in there with the knowledge that I'm just going to get a ton of questions about where the data actually came from if I do that. So I'm not sure about that. I'm going to come back to that. Any suggestions on that or feedback on that, please drop in the comments. And also, as we start to get towards the end of this, because we're 55 minutes in, that the AMA offer still stands. If you have any questions about anything, drop them in now. Tom says, how's the open sourcing? How have I been pwned? Tough journey for sure. Take my hat off to you for going down that path. So I have a really, really good use case for open sourcing a part of it. And I can't say what it is at the moment, but if I can pull this off, it's going to be super epic and it's going to be the right part to open source as the starting point of open sourcing the other bits. And it's a very specific thing which I need support in building for a very good use case, which I think a lot of people get a lot of value out of. So there's some discussions going on at the moment to see if that is a feasible thing to do. But as I've said before, the challenge is it's not like just make the existing private repository for Have I Been Pwned public. There are multiple repositories for different parts of the project. You know, there's one which does the API, there's one that does pwned passwords, there's one that does the website. And then there's almost 7 years, it'll be 7 years next month, worth of legacy check-ins in there. I'm sure I've checked in keys or something at some point, which you can get away with when you're a one-man show, but you don't really want to do when you open up to the world. So I imagine I'm probably just going to take a snapshot of the current version, make sure it's clean, drop that into a repository somewhere and then open that up. But then that impacts things like the deployment schedule. I've got to then start making the time to deal with pull requests and all the rest of it. And frankly, I've got to get my own knowledge up to scratch to actually be able to run this thing in a responsible fashion. So it is a big piece of work, but this one discrete starting point. And hopefully over the next week or two, I can get to that and announce what it is, I think would be super, super cool. And I think it'd be something that lots of people want to contribute to. And it would be a small piece of work, but it would get us on the right track. Okay, Sucky likes my hat. Thanks, man. I like this hat too. It's very hard for me to actually find a hat I like. And this one I'm quite happy with. So I bought three in different colors. I did say, ask me anything. So someone says, hi, Trev, jumping around, will all browsers block port 5060 and 5061? Those SIP ports may be closed for preventing NAT slips. I have absolutely no idea. And I'm quite happy to say I don't know the answer to that. Question here, are there still massive services getting breached like this? It's nothing new. Yeah, like I don't honestly see anything changing. Only a few weeks ago, I did hear people speculating that the rate of breaches had slowed. But look at how much stuff just went into Have I Been Pwned? So I don't really see any empirical evidence to suggest that things have slowed down at all. George, could you open source Supercar Showdown? So the challenge for Supercar Showdown is that Pluralsight owns it. So it was built for Pluralsight for the Hack Yourself First course. It is distributed as part of the benefit which subscribers of a certain level, and I can't remember what it is, it's like the Pro or the Enterprise or whatever, is distributed as part of that. So at the moment, if you're on Pluralsight and you have that level, you get it, otherwise not. But you know, part of the joy of it as well is that you don't have to run it locally. I rebuild it regularly, it's online, anyone can point whatever tools you want at it and go your hardest. Christian Anderson, when you get breaches, I guess you're mostly interested in email addresses and passwords. What about 2FA tokens? Really rare to see 2FA tokens. There are often auth tokens, but auth tokens all have limited lifespans. So, in fact, one of these recent breaches, if I do a search for token here, it might tell me. Here you go. So the Mashable had expired auth tokens. So either the tokens have organically expired, depending on how long lived they are, or they're invalidated by the provider. So it's not particularly valuable stuff. And in fact, by design, you ideally don't want them to be valuable because you don't want them to be too long lived. Christian says, it would be nice to know if there's a service being breached, also have the 2FA tokens being breached. I guess there's a question of if the seeds for the tokens have been breached, thus invalidating the 2FA. I don't know that I've really seen that before. That'd be very unusual. Kevin, will the Aussies ever beat England at cricket again? I don't know. Like, it's hard to express how little I care about, like, cricket and rugby and soccer and things like that. Now, the F1, I care about the F1. And the English are doing very well at the F1 this year. Thank you, Lewis Hamilton. So there you go. Things haven't slowed. Things just aren't public. So there's an interesting comment here around the volume of data breaches. These leaks only occur when the shithead data traders get petty and leak each other's details. There's so much undisclosed stuff. Now, this is very true, and it's often compared to the whole tip of the iceberg thing, where we just see the top little bit of it. There's a whole bunch of stuff beneath it. So think about LinkedIn and Dropbox. You know, two massive data breaches, two that I was in personally, took 4 years between breach and appearing. MySpace took even longer than that. In fact, we don't even know exactly when that breach happened. So there are all sorts of incidents that have already happened that we don't know about yet, that we will know about in a month, a year, 4 years, and then there are a whole bunch of incidents we'll probably never know about. So this whole thing about has the rate slowed, I guess we can apply some empirical measures to has what we see slowed or not, but that is a very different story to has the actual volume of them slowed. So when people talk about things like, has GDPR slowed down the rate of data breaches, or have they increased due to COVID because there's more kids at home? There's a very, very long lead time on this. I think we're going to need a lot of time to be able to actually establish that with any certainty. All right, next question here. Troy, do you personally infiltrate these forums to get your hands on data leaks or information? Is this something you can't do? Look, I read a bunch of these forums because I think it's just interesting to see the discussions that people are having. But there are so many people that support Have I Been Pwned that reach out and say, hey, here is data, I've just found it, from multiple different forums and multiple different sites where data is being traded. I just don't have to. And frankly, I can only deal with the top part of what comes in anyway, the top part being the things that have that biggest ROI that I mentioned before. So I'm quite okay approaching it in that fashion. I don't feel like I need to go out and make more work for myself, which I don't actually have the time to deal with. But in the case of things like Animal Jam the other day, I did go and have a look at some of the forums and some of the discussions that we're having, because it was just really interesting to see, why is this suddenly appearing now? Why has it come from so many people? What is in there? There was lots of discussion about how big the entire thing was and were there subsets of it that's floating around. And I often sort of read these forums and I do wonder the sort of people that are behind these posts and what might happen to them in the future. should they be identified? That might not work out real well for them. All right, what else? George, have you ever had a first party hand over data? I assume by that you mean the party that breached it. In all honesty, like I don't ask. And I don't ask because I guess in part I don't want to be complicit as part of the process. And certainly I would never ask someone to go and breach it. I sort of stick very much to the line of, is this data that has been obtained already and is out there? If so, okay, fine, it meets that criteria of this is now a data breach and it's noteworthy and it's potentially valid. But I don't really want to get into discussions with people who might have committed an illegal activity. And in many of these cases, I mean, think about the person who did breach LinkedIn and Dropbox. Dude's got picked up, going to jail for a very, very long time. They're not really the people I want to be having Twitter DMs with. I might have other discussions to have with certain three-letter acronym departments, if that's the case. Tom says, have you ever thought of using vetted people in the tech industry to help out with data crunching? Yes, I have. I have many, many pipe dreams about how I'd like to do this better. Some of them may happen in the future, but it's almost a little bit like the open sourcing thing where, yes, it's a good idea, but it takes effort and time commitment in order to make it happen. And I'm trying to figure out how to prioritize, frankly, my entire life. Status Strong, have you thought about doing reaction videos of computer hacking scenes from movies because of their stupid interfacing programs? I have seen other people do these. So, yeah, no, in my spare time, maybe. Krebs plus Hunt Dream Team. So Krebs and I both actually did a keynote for Arco's Labs a couple of days ago, but he did it when I was asleep, and then I think I did it while he was asleep.
My apologies. I couldn't hear what you said.
She's listening to everything. Wow, it's so weird, isn't it? That wasn't strange at all. Anyway, so I have chatted to Krebs a few times, but I never met in person, and God knows when that will happen now as well, given the situation here. All right, I'm going to wrap it up there because I have now been going for just over an hour. Thank you very much for watching. I'm going to come back next week. I'll do the morning session over coffee, and we'll probably be getting to the point where I can start to talk about where some of my travels will take me as well. And look, tune in then. Any other questions? And there are a couple of things there I mentioned. Do DM them to me. I do at least read all my DMs. I don't get to reply to them all, but I take notice. So thanks very much for watching, and have a good weekend. See ya.